Okay, and here we go, hour number two. We're going to go down to Florida this hour to talk to space shuttle scientist and heroic American, Clark McClellan. And I think most of you know that if you've been with the program, Clark has some very serious open wound infections on his legs. It's spread to both legs now. Infections that would put most people, frankly, in ICU and maybe out of it. They just couldn't take it. It's too much. The pain is horrible. He's taken a double dose of pain medication to try to make it through this hour. He is still working on his book. Now, Clark McClellan has written a book that discloses the stunning inner truth of America's space program. Clark knew very well the Germans who came over here after the war, who designed and took us to wherever we went up there, the moon, and we probably have a space fleet that takes us many other places now. But Clark was there and he knew it. And Clark also was able to watch on closed circuit television, live feed, an ET 8 or 9 feet tall in a spacesuit of sorts talking to two astronauts in the cargo bay. This ET also was able to squeeze into the crew compartment of the shuttle. Now, Clark saw this. Other people there saw this. He came forward with it and paid a terrible, terrible price. They stripped him of all of his benefits. They stripped him of all of his ability to make a living. He has been eking out a living by writing his book, The Stargate Chronicles, chapter by chapter, laboriously, painfully, and asking people if they'll buy a chapter at a time. Fascinating reading. Fascinating. Also, he has, courtesy of astronaut James Irwin, gold, 24-karat gold foil that went to the moon, was wrapped around the lunar lander, and brought back. He has pieces. He cuts a small piece and pastes it onto the photograph of James Irwin standing on the moon with the lunar module behind him and the gold clearly showing. So this is your chance. If you want to own a piece of gold foil that's been to the moon and back, yeah, we did go there. There are some very strange and extenuating circumstances, but we won't go into that this hour. You have an opportunity to do that as well. Clark, can you hear me all right?
I can hear you, Jeff.
All right. Tell our listeners. Did you go away?
I'm here, Jeff.
Okay.
My voice is weak.
It's okay. We'll turn you up. Don't worry about that. What I would like you to do is tell our listeners where your website is. Let's get this thing going. So tell them where to go.
If you would, please, those listening, open Stargate Chronicles.com. And you'll see everything there that I have, my chapters. I'm going to add two of them, chapter 20 and 22 soon. And the 22nd one is an astounding one, disclosing that we may have brought back to Earth with a shuttle that went into orbit, possibly an ET, or possibly some other items that is. Of course, I'm not able to say because I wasn't in California when it landed. That was STS-44. STS-51J, a shuttle mission, also saw an 8 to 9 foot tall alien in the crew compartment of the shuttle for that mission as it was being viewed by another aerospace engineer friend of mine. He said that the tall entity had to bend over with its helmet on Inside the crew compartment were two NASA astronauts, maybe 5'11 or 6 feet, who were dressing up to go out at the payload bay with the alien. If it is an alien, I can't say it is or isn't.
Well, it's either that or an NBA basketball player.
That's right, Shaquille O'Neal maybe, huh?
Yeah, perhaps.
Anyway, we had that sighted by two aerospace engineers and myself, a spacecraft operator for the space shuttle program. I was an S small c capital O there. I was there from 1958 to 1992. When NASA finally came down on me, and then they laid me off or fired me, whatever word you want to use.
Right.
When they did that, destroyed my retirement, my wife filed divorce, my son died at age 20, and I had nothing I could support my children with at the time that was still in their teens or whatever, and they threw me a real curveball. I couldn't hit the thing, but I know exactly who they are that's doing this, and Jeff does too, because he attacks this evil, horrible race on Earth.
Click on Clark's name, Clark McClelland, and Clark goes all the way back to the Mayflower. He's a true American, his family. The Stargate Chronicles is there. Now, he's adding Chapter 22, and we're going to talk a little bit about Chapter 22 tonight. This is something that I don't know how I don't know how he's able to do it because of the pain, but he has so much information in his mind, and he wants desperately to get it out there to people.
Yeah, Jeff, one doctor slipped. He told me that he met with four or so women that had several children, and he determined from that the pain I have 24/7 mm-hmm. is four times what a woman feels at childbirth. So that's pretty...
Well, it's intolerable, and yeah. Clark's medical care has been, to me, very suspicious. I don't understand it. I don't understand how these so-called healers, physicians, can do what they do and get away with it, but...
I had 4 to 5 different doctors this past year, Jeff. 4 to 5. I wanted a hyperbaric treatment. But now the recent doctor I went to said that the pains and the wounds I have on my left leg, from just below the knee all the way down to the toes and ankles everywhere, mm-hmm. are not types of ulcers that they can treat with hyperbaric. So that ended a hope that I had of getting some relief from the pain. But other doctors told me I should have hyperbaric. Now, what doctor do I believe? I don't know anymore. I don't know any longer. I need pain medicine. I need my pain medicine renewed right now with refills. And every doctor I've spoken to, 3 of them that I'm in touch with, said they won't do it. And what the hell is going on if they can't at least give me the prescription for the 2 pain medicines I have?
I don't understand it.
No.
Let me try and make this a little easier. If you go to the Stargate Chronicles, stargate-chronicles.com, just scroll down. You'll see a very handsome picture of Clark on the top at work, and you'll see the shuttle, beautiful picture. And then you'll see the frame picture with the piece of gold. The gold went and the gold came, and you
That's
can
right.
have a piece of that for yourself. It's a very, very valuable piece of
history.
My
good friend, NASA astronaut, James Irwin, my friend from my hometown in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, he brought back several sheets of that for me. And they got in trouble because they took coins to the moon and stamps, I believe. And then NASA came down on that flight crew of Apollo 15, and they never flew another mission again.
Really?
Not at all, no.
Well, strange things. Now, when you scroll down the page, you'll see a number of things. Scroll down two or three things and sections, and you'll find chapter 22 is up. Now, is chapter 21 also available, Clark?
Yes, chapter... I mixed up the numbers. It was my fault because of the pain and all I'm going through.
I understand.
I can't think straight anymore.
Well, chapters 21 and 22 are available, and you'll see a link says available here. You can click on it and go there and buy a chapter and help this man. It's really a humanitarian, it's a human thing to do, we need to do. And this is, what he has written about the space shuttle program is stunning. Stunning.
There's no one that will attempt to do this because, you see, I was used as a sample.
That's right.
If you release things like this that you have knowledge of, if you were in the space program or any other program, NSA, FBI, who knows what, you're going to suffer this as Clark C. McClellan, SCO for the space shuttle fleet, has suffered. He had, and I had 34 years in the program, and they destroyed my retirement. I had to live on, $1,250 a month from my Social Security right now, and they just raised my rent in this park $30 a month. I live in a mobile home park. My mobile home, I can't play the air conditioner. I can't turn it on because it's too damn expensive, $200 to $300 a month. So I can't afford it. I'm sorry I have to ask the people to help. I've never had to do this before.
No, that you've contributed to our country, Clark. It's perfectly fine to ask. There's nothing
the
wrong with that.
U.S. Navy and NASA, and I was there 34 years, and the United States Navy besides that. So I gave a lot of myself and my life to you, the people of this country, and I'm happy I did, but it has cost me all my enjoyment of life. I'm sorry to say that.
Well, it's the truth. Now but Clark, the book itself, the Stargate Chronicles, is purchasable online electronically. That's what I want people to understand.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for it to come in the mail. You can have it right now. And if you want to find out what really went on during the Apollo program, this man was there. He's the only one talking. He's the only one who met everyone, knew everyone, and has anecdotes and stories and experiences that are phenomenal. Just phenomenal.
I knew Neil Armstrong personally. Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins. Now, Michael Collins on the Apollo 11 first landing on the moon crew, he stayed in orbit above the moon. Between Mike Collins and I, we designed the Apollo 11 mission emblem that has an eagle landing towards the moon.
Oh, you did that.
I designed that patch with Mike Collins.
Uh-huh.
And nobody gives me credit for it. Nobody gives me credit for that emblem. It's been on two silver dollars, and it's all over the place. Now there's one patch, one emblem, that is going to be sent with the first crew that will land on Mars. It's going to be taken to Mars, and it will be placed there as a memorabilia item from the first landing on the moon.
Nice.
And I designed that emblem. I'm very proud of it. I also designed the Apollo 10 emblem, the first flight to the moon that circled the moon and came back on Apollo 10.
Huh.
Okay.
I've
done a lot of things in the program. Now, my chapter 22 that will be coming up, I call it, Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus. The reason I call it that is because a 8 to 9 foot tall alien has been seen in two separate space shuttle missions by two separate aerospace engineers, myself and another person that I will not name because I'll protect his retirement that he's on now. I can't say
well, any that. Of these, well, Clark, will any of the astronauts come forward and tell it truly like it happened?
Only one has so far. That's been Buzz Aldrin. I give Buzz Aldrin a great deal of respect and thanks because he's come out saying things that he saw. He said he saw a ship following them to the moon on Apollo 11. He also said other things that he's seen, and he said he knows Mars has been visited by astronauts already. A secret space program now exists, a very secret, top secret, that is made up of international astronauts. And it has flown to the moon. There's a base that was created behind the moon, and also there's one that has been placed on Mars. We are on Mars. We've been there for several years.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody wants to believe me. They look at me and think I'm nuts.
No, we don't. We know that the evidence is really preponderant.
That's
that
right.
The Navy has a deep space fleet and has had for quite some time.
Right.
Some of these vehicles have been seen in high Earth orbit by John Leonard Walson and others with telescopes. They're able to resolve on them. They're up there. And remember, every single space shuttle flight, every one was military first and civilian second. Every one.
And then there's this very brave man. He did break laws that still is in the UK. But that man, trying to find his name here. He released the information that he discovered a secret space program being carried out above Earth. He
right.
said there. He said there was there were.
Well, that was Gary McKinnon, the hacker.
Gary McKinnon. I'm sorry, my memory is.
No, that's all right. That's all right. That's what I'm here for.
And he has. I disclosed that, and then of course what I've disclosed, of course what he released, and that's the truth. He saw these officers. They were called NTOs, non-terrestrial officers.
Mm-hmm.
They're either ETs or a secret space program.
Correct.
From Earth. Okay.
Right.
Okay. All right.
All right. Let's look at. You want to talk about chapter 21 or chapter 22 first?
22. We'll talk about 21 in a later date, please.
Okay.
I'll come on again.
Okay. Well, I hope so.
That's called the blood of the gods.
All right.
Believe me, Jeff. I know what blood of the gods is because I have part of it here. I have ARH negative blood. It's only 3% of what the human race is, and that's billions and billions of people.
Seven.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Seven plus billions of people. So my blood sample is ARH negative blood sample. It's Rh negative. It is Arh negative. So I have part of what I believe is alien blood in my system because I also discovered right before I was fired at the Space Center that I had iridium, a very small trace of iridium in my blood sample. And my mother's blood and mine were the same. So apparently I picked that up from her and her family who came from Europe. Iridium can only be found in space. So if it's slightly in my blood sample, then I must have some non-terrestrial blood in my blood system. Non-terrestrial. These are the offices that he discovered. And another person in Houston also released facts from her stories, because she was a person working to wash out UFOs and alien creatures that are photographed on Mars, the Moon, and elsewhere. So she did that. Her name's T.C. O'Hare, I think, or Hare, T.C. Hare. And she came out and did that, but she retired first. So what I'm releasing on Chapter 22 is the tall, non-terrestrial officers, or NTOs.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt this is one of our ancient ancestors from the stars.
Would these be called the tall blondes?
Yes, the tall blondes. The tall blondes are from Aldebaran, a planet that circles the star Aldebaran. It's a very large orange star, much bigger than the sun. So I do believe that some of these creatures being seen are in fact from Aldebaran. Now, here a great story I haven't released to you before.
Okay. Hold on, Clark. Hold on. We have to pause.
All right.
I want to hear that story.
Oh, yes.
All right. Just a couple minutes. Hold on. You're doing great. Back with Clark McClelland in just a minute. Okay, back with Clark McClelland, and we're talking about his new Chapter 22, but he's going to tell us a story first that no one has heard. Okay,
very
Clark.
Important, okay.
Yeah,
I'm
please.
Working a new chapter up. Dr. Von Braun was a friend of mine, and he worked on the mission that went furthest out in space now. It's beyond our solar system, and it's heading for Aldebaran, the large orange star that I believe is the star that brought the Aryan race here that settled in Europe. The Aryans are the Germans. They are very highly intelligent. So Dr. Von Braun worked on that mission with Carl Sagan, and they sent it off many, many years ago, 30 or so years. And it's heading out of the solar system right now. It's gone billions of miles beyond Earth. We lost contact with it to some degree, but we're able still to follow it. So, but the estimated time that it would arrive at Aldebaran would be a million or so years from now. So, well, none of us will be alive by that time. But he did work on that project. It was top secret. NASA never ever released that to the public, although I know all about it. I'm going to write a chapter about that for the future. Dr. Von Braun and the Aldebaran. He worked on that project. Very top secret. Okay? Carl Sagan did too.
Uh-huh. You know, interesting about Carl is that he started out, as you know, very much open-minded about E.T. In fact, he was a proponent of E.T. visitation. And then one day, somebody threw a switch, and he did a 180 and never changed his position. Obviously, he got talked to and told
that
this is the way we're going to handle it.
Well, they can threaten your life, your family.
They don't even have to be direct about it. They could be indirect. It's
That's
very
right.
simple to do.
That's right. My own son died at age 20.
Are you, Clark, I'm very, very sorry to hear that. As you know, we've known each other a long time. Do you think that there was anything suspicious about your son's passing?
That's a good question, because my ex-wife, she had our son. Our son was named Blake, and Blake was a wonderful young man. real dark. I hair like his mother. His mother was Sioux Indian, German, and Irish.
Uh-huh.
When she had her temper up, you ducked. She threw a butcher knife at me. It passed my face by a couple inches, and it hit the wall and stuck in the wall of our living room.
Wow. Well, domestic violence is a very big secret in this country.
Oh, yes. Especially now with no jobs for U.S. birthright citizens.
That's right.
And they're handing them out to the illegal immigrants that are coming in here.
Yep.
I call them illegal invaders. We've been invaded by 30 to 35 million of them that have infested into our school systems and everywhere else. I'm not against poor people. Believe me, whoever's hearing this, I was poor myself, so I know what poor is. I'm back to being poor right now. I'm in deep poverty, so I know what it is. I'm not against poor people. But if you're coming over our borders like that, like they are now, that's evil. That's an evil, evil thing causing that. I believe it's a direct plan of Lucifer, Satan, for some people.
Well, you cut whatever it is. It's dark. It's evil. It's not human.
And
it thrives on death and suffering.
That's right. Anyway, chapter 22 is up there. I've taken the crew of one of the space shuttle missions that I know had a sighting of a tall ET in the crew compartment. The ET in the crew compartment was bending over not to hit its helmet on the overhead.
Uh-huh.
There were two U.S. NASA astronauts.
Clark, I have a question. When the tall ET was inside, did they pressurize and were they able to take their helmets off at some point?
No, I don't believe so. I didn't see a helmet off any of these creatures. I saw one, and the other one in the crew compartment was seen by another aerospace engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So it had its helmet on all the time. But then there was a consideration of seeing what the one other witness other than myself said. He thought he could see two eyes, what looked like a nose and a mouth area through the protective helmet that it wore. Now our astronauts wore the same type, if not even a better one. It was gold coated, so you could not see through the front end of the face helmet because you would see your own face in it. So that's the way it goes. Now, the bravest, most greatest astronaut that's alive today is Buzz Aldrin. Neil Armstrong died in a hospital in Cincinnati when I was up there visiting my fiance about 2 or 3 years ago. I suspect Neil because he knew things and had observed ETs on the moon when they arrived. He observed them with their craft on the crater rim across from where they landed. And I think that Neil probably would have disclosed all that if he would have been allowed to stay alive. But personally, I believe Neil Armstrong was on the death panel at that hospital.
Uh-huh.
Most of you people out there don't know what a death panel is, but I am asking you, please, on a search engine, put death panel and read what it is, because every hospital has one now, and it's used to depopulate the USA and the human race.
Okay. It's triage by the enemy, but not true triage, because it's quite selective. In other words, it's an execution panel. That's what we're trying to say.
That's exactly what it is. They choose names. I'm at the top of every hospital death panel list that exists, so I don't go to a hospital anymore.
Huh.
I've had 5 doctors in the last year tell me, go in the hospital, get that evil leg off, and then you'll be able to walk with an artificial one. I said, no, I will not trust the hospital to go into, because I'll be at the top of the death panel, and they'll call my son or daughter and say, we're sorry, but your father died from a heart attack. You
That's not an exaggeration. That's 100% correct.
That's right.
Clark, hold on just a minute, please. We have to take one more break.
Okay.
And then I want you to come back and give us something real. You know 22. I don't want to play Q&A here. Give us something real substantial from 22 that's special. All right.
Okay.
Just a minute. Hold on. Okay, back with Clark McClelland, and I would urge you to click on his name, and let's help this. He really is a patriotic, scientific hero. What the government did to Clark McClelland was, well, the only thing they could do worse is to kill him.
And they're doing that now.
He's slowly dying right now, but let's not forget the fact that he contributed decades of his life to this country's space program. He knows things that he was not supposed to talk about and did and does, and they don't like that. So the Stargate Chronicles is the book, and I hope you'll get a copy of it, and I hope you'll also buy one of those pieces of gold foil that went to the moon and was brought back by Jim Irwin and given to Clark. Okay, Clark, tell us what you're going to tell us now.
The tracking STS-44 that I was with, STS-44, was a crew that observed an alien 8 to 9 feet tall, and also STS-51J. They orbited a Tedris. A Tedris is a tracking data research satellite that was 2.5 tons, and it was 57 feet long, and they placed that in orbit. So that's a great thing for people to hear, because you were never allowed to know that. And we have aliens on the Earth right now. We have had aliens here for a long, long time. Some of them are actually relatives of the ancient Martians that left Mars when the planet between Mars and Jupiter exploded and caused the asteroid belt. They had to escape because Mars was being pelted by parts of the planet that exploded. And they had rocket fire, apparently, at that time, or some type of fire where they could leave Mars, and they flew to the nearest planet that would accept them. That was Earth. We have Martians on Earth, Jeff. And most of them may even not even know they are. That's what we have.
Well, I'm not surprised. Not at all.
We've got a base on the backside of the moon. We've got a base on Mars, maybe more than one. And we've had crews that go there through the International Astronaut Corps. NASA has been destroyed, Jeff.
I know.
NASA doesn't exist anymore, and we're paying millions of dollars to send our astronauts that created the International Space Program that we called the space station Freedom at the time, that has been now taken over by the New World Order and the banks of Wall Street. That's who owns the International Space Program.
That's
Russia
exactly
controls
right.
it, and, they, and their buddies, China, are part of it. Okay? We built it, we designed it, and put it in orbit with all the shuttles, and now they've taken it from ownership of the USA and the birthright citizens that paid taxes to put it up there, and now it's the Russian and Chinese International Space Program. International Space Station, okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Americans have no means to get up there without the Russians taking them up.
Well, yeah.
Not now.
I'll disclose something that's a very, very totally top secret. We have spaceships now, so well designed, that are flying to Mars and the Moon to take ships to take crews there. These spaceships were designed and controlled by the United States taxpayers. And that's exactly what's going on right now. These ships are so advanced in technology. Why is it? Because the Aryan nation from Aldebaran gave the Germans this technology. And when they worked at the Space Center with me, they were telling me all about how that technology exists. And it flies us now to the moon base and Mars. We actually went beyond that with a station around Neptune, the planet Neptune and Uranus. Why it's out there is to spy on an object that's coming into our solar system sometime in many years from now. That there object is a double object. The sphere that is dragging a star behind it. The star is 22 million miles in diameter.
That's not
and
good.
This aircraft is 1 million miles in diameter, mm-hmm. and it's connected to the star because what it's doing is it's sucking electrical energy out of that star to travel the universe. That's what it is.
Wow. Okay. So when that passes by here in time, it's obviously going to exhibit a great deal of energy on the solar system.
It's going to be safely here to the side where it's not going to cause damage to our planet or others that exist in the solar system. Mm-hmm. But it is heading this way. I observed it on a secret computer system that I had access to out there.
Oh, you saw it?
Huh?
You saw it?
I could see the estimated mathematical equations
and all that
indicates what it is. Mm-hmm. It's a huge star being dragged by a 1 million mile diameter Dyson sphere. A Dyson sphere is a planet that has a small solar energy field inside the center of the Dyson sphere that keeps the civilization that exists within that million mile diameter Dyson sphere alive, and they control it there through their control center.
Hmm.
That's astounding that they're doing that.
Well,
see, our sun is an electrical star.
Uh-huh.
It's electrical, and it's our nearest god in space, Jeff. Without the sun, no matter what god you're praying to, that god will not save the earth without the sun being there.
Clark, a quick question. You're familiar with the work of Dave Talbot and Wal Thornhill, The Electric Universe?
Yes, I am. That's electrical, The Electrical Universe.
You like their work?
Oh, yes, they're telling the truth.
Yeah, I've always felt that way, yeah.
Our sun is electrical. Jeff, our sun is electrical.
But we are, too. We are electrical. We are electrical beings.
Well, yes, because we've got an electrical charge in ourselves. Each time when we die, my friend Dr. J. Manson Valentine wanted me at his deathbed to photograph him with the infrared and whatever else I could use at the time to see if I could capture the electrical energy leaving his body.
Really?
Blowing out through the hospital roof, out into space. What it does then, like every human being on Earth. I cannot say that for the animals, but who knows? The electrical energy that leaves you and I, my son that died, all my beloved relatives that passed, my mom and dad, that electrical energy escaped the earth. It went to the sun. We've got hundreds of billions of humans and their electrical energy that joined the sun because it's a solar electrical field. And by God, that's the truth. We live within the body of the human, of the universe. The universe is actually God. We are living in the body of this massive Mm-hmm. My massive size, universal electrical God that's out there that is so large we can't even estimate it, and it's growing. That is God. We live in the body of God. Our sun, our planet, and other suns and planets, they all live within that universal God. Thank you, Jeff, for another good program.
Well, don't go anywhere. We got 2 minutes to go yet. I want to remind people that the book, how many more chapters do you think you have?
Probably 40, 35.
Good Lord.
But to work on them, Jeff, in this pain is like, it's almost impossible.
Well, I don't know how you do it. I really don't. I've known you for almost 20 years, I think, and
they're killing me, Jeff. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I know you know what race on earth is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a very evil, parasitic disease on earth that's destroying a lot of nations, and it has already destroyed the United States. Because it's now called the New World Order of North America.
Yep.
They're going to have the New World Order of Central America and the New World Order of South America, too, unless they have it already.
Okay. Well, they've got it. It's all planned out. It's been planned out for decades and
That's
decades.
That's right.
Yeah.
But
no, it's
keep it in mind, we live within the universal God's body.
Well, it's time for some greater power to show up and straighten this mess out or get rid of it.
That's right. That's right.
I hate to say it, but that's the way it seems to me.
Yeah, well, thank you again for another show. And all those out there that have heard me tonight, please understand, I'm not begging from anybody. I have never done that in my life. But if some of you could buy my chapters, read it, and hopefully even buy a wonderful, very rare 24-karat gold that came off, that went to the moon and was brought back by NASA astronaut James Irwin. Mm-hmm. I will mail one of them to you in a golden frame, 4 by 6 inches, but you will have one of the most rare gifts in the cosmos for you to give to a guest. Graduation, a new baby born.
A wonderful idea. Yeah.
It's a wonderful idea.
It is. All right, my friend, you get some rest if you can, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
You bet.
Bye.
All right. The Stargate Chronicles.com. And just click on Clark's name. The book is the Stargate Chronicles.com, and it's the truth. It's the shocking truth about the space program. It's quite amazing. It's about the antithesis of what you'd think. If it can be any more of an opposite, I don't know what would be. Antithetical, yes, and more. Okay, that's Clark McClellan hanging in there. I don't know what to do. Very frustrating. I've tried to do a number of things to help, and he's a very stubborn man, and this is a very bad situation. But this book is extraordinary and tells much about things you'll never hear about, ever. Okay, be right back.